Before we get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a highly respected and heart-centered stress and TMS coach based in LA. So here's a few questions for you. What if life could be simpler, with more ease and less effort? The goal is to not just get out of pain. It's also getting back to work, traveling again, going back to the gym, socializing with friends and family, waking up without fear nor dread, spending time doing hobbies that you love, and feeling safe in your body and in the world. If you want these results and you're tired of where you are right now, Jeannie can help you get there. She'll be by your side the whole time, and you'll receive the support and tools you need to finally overcome your TMS symptoms. Go to Jeannie's website, JeannieKulwin.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com, and book a free chat with her. I promise she's easy to talk to, and you'll get a ton of value from just this free call. It has been a hot minute since I gave a shout out to the patrons of the show, but if you're interested in supporting the show and you're not a sponsor, you're just an individual and you want to throw a few bucks in the tip jar every month, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Barb and Arnie have been at this. This is 6 years it will be in about a month. So November 16th and November 17th. Barb and Arnie started supporting the show every single month and throwing a few bucks in the tip jar. Thank you so much for supporting. Sarah and Brian and Julie and Christina all came along in 2019. And then Michael and Tony and Kelly and Irina and Jason all joined us in 2020. John and Dominic came along in 2021. And then in 22, Elise and Daniel and Deborah and Julie and Jeff. 2023, Albert and Teresa and Mary, and it's just been so great having you guys here along for the ride. Thank you for continuing to support the podcast every single month. So I got a question. Somebody sent me a message on Facebook Messenger a few days ago. I haven't replied to him yet, and I really, really need to, but it was pertinent because very, very timely because he was asking about TMS symptoms in kids, and that's what today is all about. So friend of the show, Preetha Bhatt, she wrote this great book called Kids, You Can Recover from Chronic Symptoms. And I did a first read through for it probably a few months before it actually got released because I wanted to check it out. If you're a parent, a kid of any age, both of our kids are 10, but this would apply to any child. And so we go in and we talk about kind of what was her reason for writing this, what some of the insight that she gained, what some of the feedback from her child. So it's cool to get a perspective from a parent that wrote a book that specializes in kids with chronic symptoms of any kind. So without further ado, let's check out Preetha and I. By the way, I'm going to link the Amazon link in the show notes for you to check out. But let's listen to Preetha and I talk about TMS. Kids, you can recover from chronic symptoms. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. With me is someone who I've known for a long, long time. From the Midwest, wrote a children's book pretty recently, and I'm very excited to have her on. Preetha, are you on the line with me?
I am. Hi, Eddie. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Thanks so much for being here. Like you had mentioned to me off air that you've listened to every episode, which is so flattering. So thank you so much for that, for the support. Years ago, I heard your story on Caitlin Michaels' podcast, but you haven't been on here yet. So the couple things I want to dive into today, I want to hear a little bit about your chronic pain story. And then I want to get into kind of your interest on helping kids with this. Because ironically, like when you actually had launched your book, my oldest was in the midst of numerous symptoms and chronic issues and things like that. And the timing was perfect. So I'm excited to dive in.
Oh, sounds good. Awesome. Okay. So I think this happened around the time my kid was born, so about 13 years ago. I had traveled to California. She's adopted, by the way. So my husband and I traveled to California, for her, for the delivery and the birth. And I noticed that the pain just came out of the blue. It was low back pain, and it was kind of nagging at me.
Yeah.
And I attributed it to a very uncomfortable hotel bed. And I didn't pay attention to it because I had other important things to worry about, right? The adoption and the process around it. But I noticed it just didn't go away. And it stayed for weeks. I did the responsible thing. I tried all kinds of physical treatments, went to all kinds of doctors, or at least at that time, I thought I was trying all the responsible things. Chiropractic treatments, acupuncture, medicines, of course, massage, spinal injections. And get this, I also bought a table that makes you go upside down.
One of the inversion tables, yeah.
Inversion tables. Yeah. I used to do that like 10 minutes every day. And nothing worked. It just kept getting worse and worse. And this saga lasted for about 4 years. And I joined a regular support group for chronic pain online, you know, just a regular support group.
Yeah.
And that was not a good thing because they kind of fed into my negative energy. And this was all before I learned about TMS. But someone in that group suggested Sarno's healing back pain. So I thought, okay, what the heck? I bought it. And I looked at the front cover and I was not impressed at all.
Yeah.
So I tossed it aside. I read the introduction and I said, my pain is real. This can't be me. So I tossed it aside. And then a few months went by and I was getting more and more frustrated, right? Because the pain was not going. So I did a Google search for healing back pain with your mind. And guess what was the first result? It was Sarno's Healing Back Pain.
Yeah.
The book. So I thought, okay, I've seen this somewhere. And then I realized I had the book with me. And I think, Eddie, at that time, I felt the readiness. I felt receptive to reading it. So I read it and I saw myself on every page. And I read the book, I think, in about a day and a half. And my symptoms improved by like 60%
wow.
just by reading it. And I think this was the same time around when you started recovering, like 2017-ish.
Yeah, yep.
And luckily my recovery was linear. I know a lot of people have fluctuations. I know they go back and forth, but I was very blessed in that my recovery was linear. And in a few short months, I was totally symptom-free. So in a nutshell, that was my story with TMS.
What do you think? So now it's been like, so, you know, you've listened to interviews and watched videos, I'm sure, about it, and probably have read more books than just the first one that you had gotten your hands on. What do you think, or what do you attribute such a linear, easy is not the right word, but like linear recovery to, where you had, you know, symptom cessation that fell back? Because I often see you online giving people advice and it's good, like just simple, clean advice. And, it doesn't seem like the wisdom that you're giving is too messy. And I think a lot of times people fall into the trap of it just thinking about it too messy, that it is very basic. But what do you attribute your success with it being?
Yeah, so I have a psychology and a special ed background. So it was relatively easier for me to grasp the TMS concept to start with.
Yeah.
And then I made a decision. I made a commitment to go with the TMS route and completely leave the medical or the physical realm.
Yeah.
And I think that was very, very helpful. Because I know some people have one foot in the medical and one foot in mind-body. It did not work for me. Maybe it works for some people. It just did not work for me.
Yeah.
So I made a commitment to go 100% with the TMS concept. And I think that dedication and that hope kept me going.
Have you had instances of, you know, reemergence of old symptoms or development of new symptoms or anything like that since you had this recovery in 2017?
Yeah. And, you know, as I was recovering, I did have like minor flares here and there, but it was nothing like the original pain. So, I mean, the pain would, you know, come in just a little bit just to remind me that, hey, something is off. Maybe I'm feeling overwhelmed or something like that, but it would very quickly go away. With journaling and, you know, other work, other TMS-related work. And I did incorporate Nicole's journal speak in my daily work and meditations and relaxation techniques, things like that. So I think all of that helped me.
Yes, that was going to be my next question. Maybe maybe you sort of answered it already, but is there a couple of specific things that you used in your toolkit that that you know, you like, if you had a friend that came to you and said, you know, I'm having chronic back pain and I know that you got over it, what are the first couple of things that, you know, that would probably work for me or might work for me, aside from read this book, but like, what are a couple of the practices that you would recommend at the top of your list?
Yeah, good question. So one was Nicole Sachs' journal speak. Mm-hmm. Definitely helped me a lot. And the other one was Alan Gordon's The Way Out.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I had to go through a process of deconditioning because my symptoms were so bad at the peak of my TMS. I could only sit for like 6 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, our entire society revolves around sitting, right? You go to a restaurant, you have to sit. Movie theater, you have to sit. Traveling, you have to sit. So I had to put myself through a process of deconditioning.
Yep.
So which means I had to sit for like a minute a day. Then I slowly started increasing the time. And at the same time, I would engage in self-talk that, you know, this is safe. Sitting is safe. I'm safe. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it took a couple of weeks for me to get over that fear of sitting.
Are you much into like, you know, like one of the things to talk about a lot, and hence the Mind and Fitness podcast, is really like the necessity of getting back to physical activity. Is there anything physical activity wise that you were prevented from doing and then started doing again after you had recovered?
Absolutely. So, you know, all my life I've been pretty active. Mm-hmm. I used to go for like aerobics. I used to work out in the gym, play tennis. And then when this hit me, everything came to a standstill.
Yeah.
Or at least I thought everything should come to a standstill. So I didn't do anything except like light walking.
Yep.
So when after I read Sarno's book, I was very encouraged to start working out. So I joined a gym and I thought, okay, this is my commitment. I can't go back now. You know, almost like you, right,
yeah,
Eddie?
Yep, yep.
So I joined the gym and I was working out very diligently, almost every day. I went back to my aerobics classes and, of course, I did it gradually because I didn't want to shock my system.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty rapid. You know, I started doing aerobics, I started doing jumping jacks, started playing tennis, biking. All the things that my doctors told me not to do, I started doing that.
Good for you. Good for you. Was there, there had to be some kind of doubt though, as you were going through the process or not really? Was there any element of, I don't know if this book is telling the truth, or was it just, hey, I'm all in and this is getting better day, you know, day over day? Like, talk about some of that.
Yeah, I totally believe Dr. Sarno. So the belief was there, at least at a conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to seep into my subconscious, I have to be honest, it took me 2 months to actually truly, deeply believe that TMS is what I have and this is the route I need to go.
Yep.
But yeah, I think at least at a conscious level, the belief was not a problem. What was more challenging is to get rid of the fear. So I did hold on to that fear for a little bit, fear of sitting down and fear of getting back into regular activity. That took a while. I would say that took like a couple months.
Yeah. So moving into the next phase, how old is your child now?
She is 10. So like
same age as Zoe. Yeah, same age as Zoe. That's so funny. So 2017, same recovery, same age of a kid, same, you know, both daughters.
Yeah,
stuff like
a lot
that.
Of parallels.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about this interest. So you had messaged me many months before you had written or before you had published, and you can find this on Amazon, but we're gonna obviously dive in a little bit more, but it's called Kids, You Can Recover from Chronic Symptoms. What sparked the interest in this? And, you know, because there's a lot of books that are on this topic, but they are all for adults. I haven't actually found anything in any of the, you know, from the really, really popular authors that have written even a section that seems pertinent to children. At least nothing is running across my memory now. So what was the interest in this specifically?
Yeah, the simple answer is I had two main reasons. So as a child, I had chronic symptoms. So I had migraine headaches, and I didn't know what was happening to me. I think I was 11 when I had my first episode. And at that age, I didn't have the vocabulary to articulate what was happening to me. And I really wish I had this knowledge back then, because I had a lot of stressors. I was a victim of childhood bullying because I was overweight as a kid. So I was bullied every day, and I think it got to me, and I felt overwhelmed. My nervous system went into fight, flight, or freeze, and my body spoke very loudly through migraine headaches.
Yep.
And then the other reason is, you know, I myself have a kid, right? So I'm a parent, and I want my kid to embrace the TMS philosophy. So for her and for other kids who might be suffering with chronic symptoms, I thought, you know, I should pay it forward. I should write a book that's designed for kids between the ages of 8 and 12. And I should write a book that's really easy to consume. So that's really why I wrote it. And I know all the books out there are really more for adults.
Yep.
So I wanted something that's very simple, easy to understand, and very affordable. So I didn't do it for the money. The book is cheaper than a cup of coffee in the U.S.
Yeah. I imagine that your daughter was probably an early proofreader. What was some of the feedback that she gave you?
yes, she did read the book, and she said it would be great to have illustrations. So really, my next step is to turn the Kindle version into a paperback version. Mm-hmm. And she did the illustrations for the book.
Oh, that's awesome.
So okay. I'm very interested to do the paper version or the paperback version as a next step. There were a couple technical terms that I had to introduce, Eddie, because it was relevant. She called me out on that. She said, except for these words, everything else was easy to understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are some of the, you know, when you're talking about it, I guess, like, if I was to hand this to Zoe, which I totally intend on doing, because I bought it as soon as it went up for sale, I bought it. So I guess, like, what are some of the symptoms that are discussed in here? Because you had talked about migraines for you. What are some of the examples in here that you talk about that are, you know, because I know that kids can get anything, but what are some of the ones that you mentioned in here?
Yeah, I have to think back. So I know the title of the book was Chronic Symptoms and not Chronic Pain, because, you know, this is beyond just pain, right? So I think I talked about dizziness, tinnitus, any kind of digestive problems like IBS. So it's not really pain, but other symptoms that could be recurring.
Yeah. What did your daughter have any sort of symptoms that you would, you know, parented in basically a TMS type way?
You know, not really, but there were a couple of times when she came to me and she said, you know, my back hurts. And, you know, she was like 7 or 8 at the time. And then my instinctive reaction was, hey, you're too young to have a back. And then it got me thinking, you know, it's really not age related. And this was when I knew about TMS.
Yeah.
So I very casually asked her, hey, did you know what's happening in school? Has anything happened? Was anyone mean to you? And I think she told me a couple things. And then the next day I asked her very casually, hey, how are you feeling today? And she said, I'm fine. Why are you asking me? And I just let it go.
Yeah.
I didn't want to dwell on it. So I know that she does get anxious at times. You know, that's her personality.
Yeah.
And I do want her to read this book again with a different lens and embrace this philosophy of TMS.
Yeah.
You know, hoping that she would do that. But yeah, to your question, no, I'm not. I didn't see any red flags or anything, any chronic symptoms.
What I guess some of the, I think that children just naturally, you know, sort of born with really good perspective. And then I think that adulting sort of, not necessarily just adulting, but growing up and kind of getting out of adolescence, you kind of become desensitized to emotions and things like that. And that's kind of why I think that's why a lot of these things exist. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that we as parents can do, especially in the, you know, much more impressionable ages when they're kind of in that young adolescence? I sort of feel like, and maybe I'm just saying this because Zoe's 10, but I feel like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I kind of feel like that's sort of the really, really pivotal time of where, you know, a kid, because I think maybe younger than 7, I think about, because I have a 6-year-old and I have a 10-year-old, if I tried to explain this stuff to a 6-year-old, I don't know how well she would grasp it. But if I mean, Zoe's kind of got it so much. In fact, I was talking about just not feeling well, generally well, a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "What are you nervous about?" And so she can get it. I think a 10-year-old can interpret it. What are some things that we can do as parents to help our kids along the way besides, hey, read Preetha's book? What other suggestions do you have? Or, you know, a kid comes home, they had a terrible day. They're not talking about pain or anything like that, but they just had a really crummy day with their friends or their teacher, whatever. What are some suggestions on how we can manage those from a TMS perspective before it becomes more of an issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll answer it this way, Eddie. So when I was a child, I was very, very introverted and would never express my feelings or emotions. When my parents used to ask me how my day was, I would say, it was okay. Yeah. And then nothing else. And I wish I had revealed a lot more. I wish I had confided in either my parents or a trusted adult on what was happening with me, all the bullying and all the other anxieties. And so to answer your question, I think as parents, I hope parents can encourage kids to talk freely about what they are experiencing, and not show any judgment. Just let them talk.
Yeah.
Let them express feelings. If it's a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, it's okay. Let them have that tantrum.
Yep.
You know, let's not say, hey, don't cry. Stop crying, even if it's a public place. Let them feel it. Just encourage them to express their emotions. So I think that's a good start. If you've watched the movie Inside Out,
Inside Out 2, but we've been counting down to it in the house. Inside Out 2 drops on Disney Plus on Wednesday, in case you didn't know that.
It's awesome. I watched both parts, and I think every parent, every kid has to watch both.
Yep.
So it's exactly like that, just acknowledging all the emotions, whether they are positive, negative, everything. I think that's so critical. Yep. And it's so important for kids to know that all emotions are okay. And that's the message I try to convey in this book. And I also included some very practical tips for kids on what they can do with this knowledge.
Yeah.
So I explained about TMS in an easy to understand way. I explained about different kinds of pain, why pain happens, and then very, very practical, very easy tips on what they can do.
That's awesome. As far as, I guess maybe one of the last things as we kind of wrap up here, because and thank you for coming on. I think that and it's tough to predict because you haven't, this is your only child, right? So you don't have a teenager at this point in time. Okay. So the teen element of this, which Nicole and I talked about a little bit, I guess, if there's any teens listening, what sort of tips could you give them at this point? Because we're talking about that kind of 8 to 12 age range, but teen years are tough. And so, you know, you wrote this book, and I'm imagining there was some kind of research that was done. You wrote this book garnered towards the age leading right up to teenhood. What sort of advice could you give to teens or kids that are in that kind of, you know, 11 and a half, 12, moving into 13? And again, thinking of it as more of a preventative, not they've come home and they have migraines or they have problems, they have things like that. What kind of advice can you loan to them in this world?
I think, like I said before, encouraging them to express their feelings and their emotions and advising them that all emotions are okay. Whatever they're feeling, it's fine. Nothing is wrong, whether it's jealousy, whether it's anger, everything is fine. Sometimes, you know, as parents, we might unintentionally have judgment. We might say, hey, don't think that way. But I think it's okay for kids to express or feel any emotion. I think even if they, and I can understand teenagers being uncomfortable to reveal things to their parents, in which case I would encourage them to talk to any trusted adult or a friend about what they are going through. I know it's a vulnerable time. You know, I used to be a teenager. We want to fit in, right? Yep. We want to convey the impression that we have it together. You know, we are cool. Nothing's wrong. But I think it's important to reflect on what's bugging us and what's making us anxious. So my advice is, if you're not comfortable talking to your parents, talk to someone else.
Yep.
Or journal. It doesn't have to be a person. You know, they can journal. Or if writing is not their thing, they could express their emotions a different way, either through music or painting, you know, something like that. But there's got to be an outlet.
Yeah, got to be something. Well, Preetha, hang on the line with me beyond when I hit stop on this. But thank you so much for being here. I'll link in the show notes the book, but it's called, again, Kids, You Can Recover from Chronic Symptoms.
Sounds good. Thank you, Eddie.
Yeah, thanks for being here.